In 1919, he hit 29 home runs and was sold to the New York Yankees.
A three-run home run for Buffington. The Yankees now lead it by a score of 3-2.
Bill Lee is now going over to a couple of the Yankees, and there they go again.
Swung, hits it to deep left. That might send the Yankees to the World Series.
Varitek and A-Rod going at it. Roberts is going. Posada's throw. Roberts, safe.
And what can I say? Just dip my heart and call the Yankees my daddy.
Welcome to Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. He's John Senecal. I'm Brian Shackman. It's episode 160. Now, you had all these great ideas for 100, and exactly zero of them came to pass.
Yep.
But we get to 200. We got to do something.
We got to figure something out.
We got to do something.
We'll give away a mic flag or something.
Yeah, well, the way it's going here, you'd be giving away Yankee tickets.
Right.
I am shocked. Let's start with your boys, with how poorly they've played, yet they're only, as of Wednesday, a game and a half out. It shows you the Orioles have chosen a decent time to stink, too. But, I mean, in some ways, I think the Yankees are kind of lucky.
Yeah, the Yankees are very lucky. I mean, they've basically won 10 of their last 30 games. Meanwhile, the Orioles have won 3 of the last 10 games, and the Orioles aren't playing good. It seems like every night the Orioles lose, the Yankees lose. Orioles win, the Yankees win. But two totally different teams. And I mean, the Yankees, I mean, what? How much more can we beat the freaking horse, right? Other than Judge and Soto, we're talking about a bunch of crap.
Well, I kind of want to get to this on two fronts. The first front is, it just feels like even the players are waiting for the trade deadline. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like everyone's like, okay, this game, this is stupid. In a week, I might be in Cleveland,
or not have a job.
Yeah, yeah. So the Red Sox feels a little different. We'll get to them in a second, but I do feel like in the Yankee sphere, it's like, okay, we got a week, and the team you know is going to be different in a week.
Yeah, I mean, it's if you're sitting as a Yankee player and your name is not Soto or Judge, I would just assume, barring the pitching, the starting pitchers aren't going anywhere, that you might have a chance that you, A, are on another team in a week, or B, you're not on a team, period. Because I'm talking like a player like DJ LeMahieu. Like, can you trade him right now? No.
What? He finally hit a home run, though.
Right. Finally hit a home run, but he hasn't done anything else. So That's a guy you could even see being DFA'd, right? Gleyber Torres, is he tradable right now? No. But could someone take his contract for the rest of the season if you pay it out? Maybe the Marlins would?
But if you DFA and someone picks him up,
you're still paying for him.
You're still paying for him.
Yeah. But, I mean, what is he doing? What is he doing for you? Do you think he's going to go somewhere and be on a contender where all of a sudden he's going to start hitting 7 home runs in the next 10 games? No. No, he's not. But if you look at the Yankees, you're talking about a team other than Aaron Judge and Juan Soto that has OPS in the 600s. Batting averages are insanely low, over like 100 points lower than Soto and Judge across the board, and on-base percentage and slugging percentage. So it's like, The offense is so anemic, and the Mets proved that in game one of their series. You walk Judge 4 times, the dude didn't even make it to second base.
So Tuesday night, the Mets, this is my second thing I wanted to get to. The Mets walked Aaron Judge 4 times, and they won the game. And my question is, why not do that? Why shouldn't every team do that? It's like Bonds, like, why not just do that? Like, if I was a manager, I know it's cowardly in a macho game, but if everything is as you say, why not save all your good pitches for Soto, walk Judge, and let all the rest of these clowns strike out?
Well, that's exactly what's going to happen.
Wouldn't you do that?
Well, the games, if Soto is on base, it changes it a little bit, right? Because that gives you a little bit more chance it's going to push forward. But if Soto's not on base, there is absolutely zero reason that you would throw one strike to Judge. And Aaron Judge last night, the first game of the series against the Mets, saw one pitch he could hit, and he watched it. And it was the first pitch of the ninth inning. Saw one pitch he could hit. Same thing Barry Bonds used to see, one pitch. And most of the time, he hit the ball out.
Right.
But, I mean, if I'm any manager across the board, I am not going to throw one pitch to Aaron Judge unless the freaking bases are loaded. I mean, there is zero threat beyond the Yankees. You're batting JD Davis. You've got a guy batting behind the one of the probably the best player in baseball right now, who, if you ask 90% of Yankee fans, they wouldn't even know he's on the damn team.
Well, when did they move Volpe down?
Well, like pretty about 3 weeks ago. But he's, again, he's been all over the place. He's been seventh. He's been sixth. He's been fifth.
He played leadoff most of the time, I thought.
Almost all season he batted leadoff until he started slumping about mid-June. He started really going downhill. But that being said, now you're taking a guy who started off hot, who you know is not going anywhere.
You talk about Volpe.
Volpe.
Yeah.
And now you're bouncing him all over the damn order, all over the place. So you got Jameer Jones bat and lead off. Again, another guy that if you ask most Yankee fans, wouldn't even know he's on the team.
I have no idea who he is.
Exactly.
And he's leading off as of, you know, going into Wednesday night's games, Jones batting 238. I mean, Grisham's batting under 200. And then you have Soto and Judge who are awesome. J.D. Davis, 216. Volpe's down to 254. Torres, 230. Verdugo, 231.
And no one with an OPS over 700.
LeMahieu, 183. He's batting 183.
When you got your two best players basically doubling the OPS of everybody else on the team, you got issues.
Yeah.
You got real issues. And I don't, and again, how are the Yankees going to solve that, right? Okay, Jazz Chisholm. Now, if you look at Jazz Chisholm's numbers, they're nothing spectacular. They're nothing spectacular. He's going to be quicker. But you're also talking about a guy who isn't even playing second base right now. He's an outfielder who was a second baseman. Now, if you're going to trade for him and throw him at second base, I don't know. Yeah. Now, the Yankees are hoping that Jason Dominguez comes back. As of Wednesday, he's supposed to be starting a rehab assignment.
What's his injury?
A oblique strain. Coming off Tommy John surgery. Now, he's played 30 at-bats this year in the minor leagues, roughly 30 at-bats, batted up in the high 300s. But we're talking about a player who only played, 15 games in the major leagues before he got hurt at the end of the 2023 season, and now he's only played 30 at-bats in AAA, and he's going to come back, and you're going to count on him down the stretch coming off of two injuries?
Right.
Sounds great. Yes, he's younger, but now what's the deal with Stanton? Mild hamstring strain. Dude's been out a month and a half. Bryce Harper had a hamstring strain. He was out for 7 days and came back and started in the All-Star game. So if you can tell me for a second that you're going to put your hopes in Giancarlo Stanton's going to come back and is going to secure that lineup and play out healthy until the end of October, go buy yourself a Mega Millions ticket.
Or smoke another one.
It's not going to happen.
Hey, it's John Senecal. I'm Brian Shackman. This is episode 160 of Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. Quick note, the Red Sox are obviously hosting the Yankees for three this weekend. The Sox struggle, actually, at Fenway. You have Cortez against Bayo, Stroman against Crawford, Rodon against Houck. I mean, good pitching matchups in terms of the names. And, you know, I don't love when my team is on Sunday Night Baseball because I think it just screws up with their, especially if they have to play again on Monday. Like, you know, like the Yankees, they have to go from a night game Sunday in Boston to, you know, a 6:40 p.m. game Monday in Philly. That's kind of, I mean, I know it doesn't say they're pro athlete because that game's, you know, going to be over at 11 and maybe they. By the way, my dog's in studio, and he just ripped one.
Oh, he's a cute dog, though.
God, it's so bad.
That's worse than dog farts.
Oh, my God, it's so bad. Anyway, I lost my train of thought, and I just had to break down the fourth wall. Would they go to Philly that night, Sunday night?
No, so, yeah, Philly game is I know this because I'm going to be in Northern Jersey next week, and I'm probably going to one of the games and probably BP for the Monday game. Go down and see Bobby Dickerson.
Oh, nice.
So 6:40 they play on Monday and then 6:40 on Tuesday and then they play a 12:35 day game on a Wednesday.
That's right.
But, I mean, the Yankees could be severely limping in to play the best team in baseball, which is scary to think.
Let's get back to the Red Sox series. I mean, clearly to me, the rivalry, it is what it is. It doesn't have the juice it's had in various other
times. But it's got juice this year compared to what we thought it would be.
Why?
Because they're close in the standings. The Yankees are in front of the Red Sox right now, and the Red Sox need to beat the Yankees. The Yankees need to beat the Red Sox, and that hasn't been like that.
In a while.
Yeah. I mean, these games matter. We know every game matters, but when you're playing your division rivals, they really matter. And the Red Sox are hungry, and the Red Sox want to beat the Yankees. Come on. Of course they do.
Yeah. I mean, the problem with the Red Sox is just so weird to me, and this goes into my Fenway as a tourist destination. I just think that half the fans at the game now don't give a crap. So, the home field advantage isn't there necessarily. I mean, they're sub 500 at home. That's crazy to me that's the case. And, I mean, I don't know. I think that I felt that the game two against the Dodgers, where they blew that lead in extra innings, I felt like, and I know I'm a total cynic when it comes to the Red Sox, I felt like the season was over, I got to tell you. And then they lose the first four out of the gate and the second half, and I'm like, geez, this is brutal. So, like, I feel if they don't win two or three of the Yankees, I think it's going to be dire straits. And because all I'm thinking about is, like, say they lose two or three or get swept by the Yankees, then what do you do at the trade deadline? Then you're two or three games out of the wild card going right into the deadline. Like, I swear, I think that, like, John Henry has put a hex on the team or something like that to make sure that he doesn't have to do anything. I mean, I just hate that's how I feel. But, I mean, and then the other thing I'm rooting for, I swear, I'm so anti-ownership right now, and it's crazy. They delivered four World Series in this century, and I'm sitting here saying this. But, like, part of me wants them to make the wild card and even do well. And then see Cora walk.
Yeah,
just to show them, you know, that you can't do it this way.
That they should have done something
way.
To keep the something. Team together.
Something. Something. Even though even if the plan's working, I don't know. I feel like I'm not as much a Cora fan as everybody else. So a lot of people love him. I don't love him like that. But I also think it's been a – because they saved his career, you know what I mean? But I also think that he's been operating under some – really weird circumstances.
Well, there's no reason as an organization at the Red Sox should not be going for it, all right? Because they clearly have a team that can contend and make a wild card, and we know that if you make the wild card, you have a shot.
Yep.
Now, they also have a team that has two prospects in the top 15, top 100 of minor league
baseball. What, Marcelo Mayer?
And Roman Anthony, who are both good players, right? Now, if they make a trade, they would probably have to get rid of them. But I don't see the Red Sox making a trade where it would require a top-tier prospect like that. I see them doing something that's more minor, that you're not going to have to get rid of one of their big guys, as opposed to Yankees.
How do you do that, though?
Well, you go for the big guys like the Garrett Crochets and the Tariq Skubals and those guys that are out there that everybody's clamoring over that is going to cost you your top prospect. You go for the mid-tier guys that, like, you know, like a Zach Eflin I'm drawing blanks. You know, the mid-tier pitchers that aren't going to cost you your top prospects. But the Yankees are going to have to get rid of Spencer Jones. The Yankees only have two top prospects in the top 100 other than Jason Dominguez, Spencer Jones and Chase Hampton. And Spencer Jones is in Double-A striking out 30% of the time. All right? If you're striking out 30% of the time in Double-A, how are you going to translate into the majors? Right? I don't see the Yankees having the chips available to do what they think they need to do. I just see teams like Baltimore and the Phillies and the Dodgers just disrupting.
Unless
this market.
They did it like an NBA thing where they took another player with a salary to eat it.
Right. You need to take like a Javier Baez contract to get a Tariq Skubal. You'd have to take $80-something million of a contract. But then again, I don't think you have the prospects in return to do it. Because the Yankees are not going to get rid of Jason Dominguez, especially in the position they are now, right? Because they need him to come back.
Right.
They need him to come back. Spencer Jones could be gone. I would say any other top prospects in the Yankees organization probably could be dealt. But like I said, there's only two other than Jason Dominguez in the top 100. And all of those guys are down in the low leagues. Everson Pereira is in AAA, and that guy is not even doing good, and he's just come off the IL. So, like, who's going to want him? I mean, yeah, you could probably throw him in a deal, but he's not going to command a ton of return.
I didn't know that. I don't know much about Roman Anthony, but he went to Stoneman Douglas High School.
Yeah.
So he was born in 2004. So when the shooting happened, he was 14. So he might not have been in school.
There's a bunch of players that went to Stoneman Douglas High School. And I can't remember the dude's name, but one of them was actually in that class. Yeah, I'll think of it for the next episode, but I remember reading an article, but he wasn't on the Red Sox.
But even so, even if you're an eighth grader, it's traumatic, I'm sure, but I saw that on his profile. I'm like, holy crow.
Yeah.
He's a part of it. I don't know. I think that, I mean, I'm not going to restate my trade deadline thing. I want to get there. Like, I want to get there because I want to see what happens. And to me, like, my prediction is pretty clear that the Yankees will overpay, find some way to get what they deem they need, because I feel like that's what the Yankees do. So, yes, you're right. They're short on prospects, but I also think they're long on desire and long on money. And I know they've paired they don't want to spend too much, but I don't worry about them trying hard. I don't.
No, they'll definitely try. You know, the Red Sox are the ones that you wonder if they're going to try.
What they're going to do. Yeah, and if they do one mid-tier reliever, you know, on the tail end of his contract or whatever. I feel like,
I guess what I'm saying is, for Red Sox fans, you have a shot now.
No, I get it.
And it's not getting worse. Like, right. Your team is going to be good going forward, you know? And like, and that's without making additions or spending the farm. Right.
But Marcelo Mayer isn't Dominguez, but nobody wants to trade him, right? Nobody wants to move him. And I don't think Story's coming back, but I think, you know, Costas will be good when he gets back. I mean, again, the hamstrings and the obliques, I understand it, because if it's not 100% healed, then it will always flare up.
Always.
And I get that. But it is amazing to me how long it takes to clear these guys from both the oblique and the hamstring. Yeah. And just those two, really. Back is different a little bit, but it is kind of crazy. John Senecal, Brian Shackman here. It is Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. Quick counter programming. Olympics, into it? Not into it? Ready to go?
Well, baseball, it's funny. I knew it was coming up, but I didn't realize it was starting on today. I had no idea, on Wednesday. Yeah, there's a couple of events that are happening.
Yeah, the Wednesday, the 24th of July, there's both rugby and soccer. And then the opening ceremonies are Friday.
Yeah.
And then things get going in earnest. I mean, I don't know anything about the baseball.
There's no baseball. No baseball this year. The next time baseball comes back is 2028, and that's the Los Angeles Games. Now, I have a question for you, Brian.
Yeah.
The question all along about baseball is, well, it's played during the season, right? So how do you get the major stars and all the players involved, right? Do you do it during the All-Star? Do you move the All-Star break? Do you shut the season down for a couple weeks? Do you just let the teams play without that? I got a different idea. What if you moved baseball to the Winter Olympics? Every major city has some sort of dome-ish or thing, and we know they love to spend money and they can build it.
What a freaking great idea.
And what if you moved it and it's in February, right before, right when everyone's getting to spring training, and you just did it then?
The problem is that then you're cutting. So then would the Olympic teams have like 2 weeks of their own training camp before?
Yeah, I would think that you would be training like right at the beginning of February or right towards the end of January.
What about, to me, like the only, here's the thing is that I think baseball should be a little like soccer and just almost sort of be like either like low-end pros or amateur. Because if you get Shohei Ohtani, who would probably love to put on the Japanese uniform, like he probably would love it. But from a Dodger and insurance perspective, there's no effing way they're going to let him play.
But they played in the WBC, the World Baseball Classic. All those guys played in it. Hmm. So I don't know if it's built into their contracts or if it's something that they have to take out separate insurance policies for.
Or
I don't know.
Collectively bargain.
I don't know the exact extent of it, but I'm just thinking the way that you're.
How great would that be for the profile of the Winter Games?
How are you going to get the best athletes, so-called best athletes in the world, involved so people watch the sport? Nobody wants to see a AA player play in the Olympics and go up there and be like, oh, who the hell is this guy? They want to see Aaron Judge. They want to see Shohei Ohtani.
Right. The amateur side of it's gone forever anyway.
It's gone. Yeah, they don't want to do that. I mean, all the other sports are putting, you know, the pros in there. I mean, heck, LeBron's carrying a flag. I mean, Snoop Dogg's carrying a flag.
I know. He's carrying a torch.
A torch. Well, of course, he's got to light his blunt.
I swear to God, we talked about this on my morning show on WTIC News Talk 1080. How great would it be as a photo op if he took the torch and lit
a blunt?
Yeah, it'd just be so funny. And because that's, and then we also talked about, like, imagine the guy's cut his career, like super street cred, blah, blah, blah.
Gangster.
Now he's selling Coronas and doing
hanging
the torches.
Out with Martha Stewart.
I mean, it's the funniest thing. But it shows you in some ways how far this country's come in a lot of ways.
Yeah. I mean, I remember he used to sit there and with the smoke dog in his hand and just make fun of it, smoking his weed. And now it's just like, you know, it became part of him, right?
Yeah, sure.
And he didn't care and was legal everywhere. And now it's like he's celebrating. The dude is carrying a torch for the Olympic team.
It's crazy.
I mean, come on.
And he's likable, though. You can't deny it. He's a likable dude.
I mean, if you watched what was the name of his album? The Dog Father or whatever?
Oh, my gosh, with that cover art?
Back in 1992 or 93. Yeah. I mean, we wore that out in college.
I know. That's really
wow,
really
wow, funny. Wow. Yippee, yo, yippee, hey. Now he's carrying the torch.
I know. It's a lot. It's a lot to handle.
I wonder if he'll put the screws to the cardboard beds. I'm sure he will.
In
but
the
they're
village?
Jumping on him. They're doing the Instagram thing.
So they hold
things.
Up. I mean, I guess it's a big... big orgy in
that's
in
what
the
they
village.
Say, right? That's what they say. But I mean, cardboard beds? I don't get
they're
it.
Trying to be sustainable, John.
Sustainable. Are they recyclable cardboard beds? I bet you they're not recyclable.
Well,
cardboard
we'll find
beds.
Out. They have these huge air purifiers too. Like they look like huge, like you know those things that those heating things that have the little bit like little like domes.
Yeah.
they have like four times the size of that in their air purifiers, because I guess Paris is pretty bad for air quality. But either way, I think the Winter Olympics is a great idea for baseball. I love it. In fact, I think, you know, we'll submit it. And, you know, they're going to have the Winter Games in Salt Lake City now in 2034. Which is obviously, I was there in 02.
How does that work? How do they get them back? I mean, I know it's been 32 years.
A bunch of cities don't want to do it anymore.
They don't want to cost.
They were the only finalists. So they have a bunch of the infrastructure. And I think that now the Olympics has changed. It used to be who can bid the most. Now it's like who
will take us.
Yeah, it's really true. And I think it's good though. I mean, I think that the outside of the post 9/11 security, which was brutal, it's a really good spot. And I think they can actually, with the pre-existing stuff they have, especially with the NHL going there, they're going to have a lot of stuff ready to go.
And you need the area. I mean, you've covered what, three of them? I did one. And I mean, for anybody that's never been there, nothing is near anything.
Yeah.
I mean, when I did the Torino Olympics, like the skiing was like 3 hours away from Torino.
I had some 40, 50 minute bus rides with Torino. You were with what's his face? What was his name?
Brandon Rudak.
Oh, he was something else.
Yeah.
You guys had some big trips for sure.
I remember I went up and did a whole story on Martha Stewart in the Alps walking around. We just kept driving. We were driving and driving and driving and driving. And, you know, I mean, it's got
super cool.
Snoop Dogg wasn't there, though.
He was not there. Good stuff. We'll talk to you next week on Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports.